The stories contained in this podcast are the recollections of the guests we've invited onto the show. We are an outlet for people to share their truths, and we accept no legal responsibilities for the stories contained herein.
I'm Kendra Sheets.
And I'm Rich Gill.
And this is Enough, a podcast that aims to shine light into the darkened corners of the music industry while discussing the ways we can and should improve ourselves and in turn our community.
Welcome back to another episode of Subtext, our information-driven subset of the podcast. The subject of today's episode has likely touched the lives of almost every single listener that we have, probably in some way, from The Avengers to Desperate Housewives to Mission Impossible to Men in Black to The Simpsons, which if you didn't hit the first four, like, we definitely got you with that last one. This musician has staked his claim in Hollywood again and again. And if you still need a clue who this could possibly be, I think the mere mention of The Nightmare Before Christmas should do it for you.
Danny fucking Elfman.
That's right. It's Danny Elfman.
Elfman initially made a name for himself in Hollywood in 1985 when he scored his first film, a small little indie flick that maybe some of you have heard of called Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Nope, never heard of it. Don't know what's going on. Mm-mm.
Yeah, like I said, it was small, didn't get a lot of press, didn't launch the career of one of the most well-known people of my generation, possibly Kendra's also.
Nah, don't put me in your generation.
No. As Kendra mentioned, his career seemingly just blossomed from there. However, Elfman was making music long before that, most notably with the 1980s ska-tinge new wave band Oingo Boingo, whose most famous song is titled Little Girls. At the time it was written, Elfman would take on personas and write in their perspective. Little Girls is a commentary on those higher-ups like musicians or execs who use their power and platform to take advantage of young women. And I'm just speculating here, but based on the time period and the scene that he was a part of, sounds a little bit like Kim Fowley, maybe? I don't know. It could be a number of people.
Could literally be everyone.
It was literally everyone. And the irony of this will become apparent very soon. Now, as we discussed in our last episode of Subtext, there was a surge of allegations against famous men in the last few months of 2023. These included Sean Combs, Axl Rose, Justin Giever, aka Justin Sane of Anti-Flag, and more. Elfman was also one of those people accused of sexual assault during this time frame.
So a lawsuit was filed in October of 2023, naming Elfman and his company, Music de la Muerte, because of fucking course it is, as defendants. The lawsuit was from a Jane Doe and accused Elfman of using, quote, his clear power as a successful public figure in the film and music industry as a form of control, end quote. According to the suit, Elfman met this Jane Doe in 1997 when she was a 21-year-old film student at the New York Film Academy. At this time, he was 47. It states that he bring her to different Hollywood outings, grooming, and then used emotional manipulation to sexually abuse and exploit her. As time went on, he began pushing the boundaries of their friendship. He would strip completely naked and walk around in front of her, and then claim that this was the only way he was able to evoke the creative process for himself. So he didn't really have a choice. He had to do it. He began asking her to do the same and even asked her at one point to watch him bathe, which is so weird.
Gross.
The suit also stated that Elfman exposed himself to her and then masturbated in front of her while she slept next to him fully clothed on a number of occasions. He supposedly said to Doe, quote, every time you have ever slept next to me, I would masturbate next to you, end quote. He had apparently explained that, again, this was part of his fetish, but she needed to be asleep for it to work. Again, creative process, but you need to do this. It's the fetish, but you have to be. Anyway, after this conversation, she stated that she ended the relationship, the friendship, any contact with Elfman.
And of course, as always happens, when this lawsuit was filed, Elfman denied the allegations. His legal team issued a statement which stated, quote, The allegations of misconduct made against Mr. Elfman are baseless and absurd. His legal team is assessing all options, and he will vigorously defend these claims in court. End quote. But this Jane Doe lawsuit was actually spurred by another expose about Elfman, published by Rolling Stone earlier that year in July. This report outlines accusations made by Nomi Abadi. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm probably not, so I apologize. Accusations that Abadi made against Elfman regarding assault during 2015 to 2016. Nomi was a former child prodigy who played in orchestras since she was five. Now, she had met him in Denver in 2015. He had asked for her email address from an acquaintance the day after they met, and the two began discussing music. Abadi was a fan of Elfman's, and prior to the misconduct, she had hoped that he, who was decades her senior at this point, would serve as her mentor and help her launch her career. As she began visiting him at his recording studio, the tone began to change from friendly to something more inappropriate. He started answering the door in solely a robe, which is reminiscent of our old pal Harvey Weinstein. He also masturbated in front of Abadi without her consent, sound familiar from earlier, and claimed that it was all part of his creative process. So he definitely has a thing.
My creative process is non-consensual. Whatever it is, it's non-consensual. And that's how I'm creative the most. And you just have to put up with it or else I'll never write The Nightmare Before Christmas 2.
My creative process is me being a total fucking gross, scummy, naked, masturbating, sweaty, disgusting person.
Yep. Sounds right.
The final straw was when, in the summer of 2016, Elfman allegedly presented Abadi with a martini glass of what was supposedly semen.
So gross, dude.
Disgusting. He had previously sent her the photo of the glass in an email and wrote, quote, a mystery pick to pique your imagination.
Blech.
According to his counsel later, it was filled with Cetaphil moisturizing cream and was designed to be a photo prop with a provocative tagline, a gross tagline.
Yeah, all of this entire thing, like, is just weird. And I understand creativity and artists, man. But this is crossing boundaries, man. Like, it's just so yuck. All of it is so yuck.
Yeah, it's like beyond, you know, oh, be open about your sexuality and just go with, like, whatever happens. It's part of my process. On the scale of things that are cool to not cool, towards the top of the uncool list is martini glasses full of cum.
Right. Also, stop wasting Cetaphil if that's your thing. Anyway, so all of this had been reported to the LAPD in 2017 per Abadi. Of course, Elfman had a very different version of their relationship, their friendship, whatever you want to call it. He said he was unaware that he'd been her childhood crush, and that she had intentions of breaking up his marriage and replacing his wife, Bridget Fonda. Let me remind you, she's not sending him cum cups. It's the opposite way around. But anyway. So when she apparently realized that she would not succeed in breaking up his marriage, she went after his career, according to Elfman. He stated, quote, I've done nothing indecent or wrong, and my lawyers stand ready to prove with voluminous evidence that these accusations are false. End quote. In July of 2018, Abadi and Elfman entered a settlement and an NDA. The overall total amount he would pay out over 5 years, $830,000. For not doing anything wrong, right? For accusations that are completely false. He thought that this was just, you know, an NDA is usually given when there's voluminous amounts of evidence. Yeah.
It has innocence written all over it.
You know else who it sounds like? Someone else who's super innocent, who loves to settle their shit? Marilyn Manson. Super innocent, always ending up in settlements. So strange. So in July of 2023, Abadi ended up suing him for missing two payments, totaling $85,000, which put him in breach of contract, which is actually how anyone was able to find out about this in the first place, how Rolling Stone was able to write the expose article, because without his consistent payments, the NDA was able to be breached because the contract was breached. So it became public knowledge that this entire thing just got skirted under the rug for $830K. So I also want to quickly note here that Danny Elfman, who is so very much innocent per his statement, as of last year, is now being represented by Camille Vasquez. And that name should sound familiar to you because she was part of Johnny Depp's legal team at his trial against Amber Heard. Now, I know that Depp and Elfman are pals since they worked on all that spooky Tim Burton shit together. There's no way that they're not like BFFs. And I'm sure they have identically inflated egos, thinking they're both like super sexy rock gods who deserve whatever they cast their eyes on. So a referral from Depp does not come as much of a surprise. However, when it comes to the court of public opinion, I feel like hiring Camille Vasquez tells me exactly what I had assumed. Gross, you're fucking gross, you're gross and you're guilty and you're gross. Anytime that you think he's not gross, think of the cum cup. That's gross.
Yeah, that's gross. Camille Vasquez actually issued a statement which stated that Elfman denies, quote, the salacious and absurd allegations in the complaint that Mr. Elfman groomed and sexually abused plaintiff. Plaintiff's complaint specifically states that she was an adult at the time of the conduct alleged. End quote. Now, we've spoken before about the power of platforming an artist and the power dynamics that can come with it. Someone doesn't have to be a minor to fall victim to grooming. And anyone who believes that only minors can be groomed, you're, pardon my French, a fucking asshole. For grooming to occur, there must only be a power dynamic difference. Yes, absolutely, that can include age. But it can also include gender, popularity, economic status, and physical strength, among a multitude of other things. This Jane Doe lawsuit was filed under the window law, which we touched on earlier. It allows victims to override the usual statute of limitations and file a complaint. The California Sexual Abuse and Cover-Up Accountability Act began in 2023 and will remain in effect until January 2026.
And a week after this Jane Doe filed the suit against him, Danny Elfman was celebrating the continual dragging a dead horse of successes that is The Nightmare Before Christmas at a concert at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles. It was a three-night event which celebrated 30 years of the film. And in 2024, he was nominated for 2 Emmys for Wednesday and won one. So the lack of accountability in Hollywood goes on. I would like to share a quote from Naomi Abadi that she spoke at a press conference last February. She spoke as an advocate on behalf of a nonprofit that she founded back in 2020 called the Female Composer Safety League. She stated that, quote, there is a clear and urgent need to center the experiences of survivors of sexual assault in the music industry who have lost their careers because they were abused and silenced. She added, I simply cannot fathom the idea of going along with an industry that allows silence breakers to be vilified. End quote.
Now, before we close with all of that stuff about Danny Elfman and all of the other people that we've talked about over the past months and years at this point, we should mention something that we hope is going to be a catalyst of change in the industry. On February 28th, 2024, a report was released and shared publicly entitled Sound Off, Make the Music Industry Safe Report. It was drafted by a coalition of 4 women-led nonprofits, including our good friends at the Punk Rock Therapist.
Yay!
The report reveals over 35 musicians and over 18 executives who have been accused of sexual misconduct, assault, and cover-ups. It's chilling to read. It's 200 pages. I read a lot of it, but not all of it, because it is so much to take in at one time. But I really do recommend everyone, please take a look at it. It's on the Punk Rock Therapist website.
We'll link it to this one too.
Yeah. We're going to leave you with the 5 demands of the coalition, which aim to make the music industry a safer place. Number 1, no more non-disclosure agreements, NDAs, that silence survivors.
Number two, mandated policy protocols. If you see something, say something.
Number three, an independent organization funded by Music Cares, the Make the Music Industry Safe Division.
Number four, publication of the names of artists and execs credibly accused of sexual assault and harassment.
And number five, adoption of a survivor bill of rights. And maybe, just maybe, we can stop offering awards like Grammys and Emmys to men who have a history of misusing their platforms to groom and abuse women.
Enough is a podcast centering on surviving abuse, harassment, and assault in the music scene. To help get the word out, please like and subscribe and share with your friends. If you have been on the receiving end of harm from someone, be it artist, venue owner, booking agent, audience member, or someone else, and would like to share your story on a future episode, please reach out to us at thisisenoughpodcast@gmail.com. All correspondences are kept confidential.